brothers and sisters, I'm very excited because God really put on my heart something that is in our Bibles that we don't really often enough talk about, but is a very important part of our lives, and I really have a feeling that He's going to do great things through His Word in our lives this summer, especially as we look at something called stewardship. Stewardship. And I want to do one thing before I continue, okay?
This is like connected. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Right? But it kind of connects, you know. And that kind of connects to what I wanted to say. I didn't plan on doing that, but I saw that, and that's one of the things that is going to come up in the message today and in God's Word today. That God speaks to us in His words to inspire us to see things that we haven't seen before. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I mean, we should believe that because it's true. And we can trust God's word for showing us things like, and it's spoken of, right? I'm going to show you great mysteries. Take a look at your bulletin, okay? And in the bulletin, we don't read this during the service, but it's good for you to be aware of it. The memory verse, it's on the back of your bulletin, and it's under announcements, actually. But there's a memory verse, and it's 1 Corinthians 4:1. You want to read it together? Okay, 1, 2, 3. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's a cool verse, isn't it? I mean, how many times have we read that? This is how one should regard it. This is how we are to be seen by others in the world around us, right? As servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. So what does that mean, right? As the stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, in this kind of a way, there is a lot packed into that word mysteries, but we're going to be looking at this verse during the sermon series, but keep that in mind and ponder what that means as you go along, right? The word steward is one that we don't often enough say, but here it is in the book of 1 Corinthians that, you know, Paul is talking to the church there and reminding them of what they're supposed to be known for. Right? Did you ever go on a flight? Somebody walks down the aisle, can you please bring up your tray? You know, bring your seat forward, prepare for landing. What are they called? Flight stewardesses. Stewardesses. They are attendants, but they're stewardesses. Why? Because they manage the flight. They're in charge. Right? We may not think of it that way. We ask a lot of them, you know, can you bring me some more water? Can you do this for me? And can you do that for me? But they're there to manage that flight, right? If they weren't there, then things would be kind of like people doing what they want and getting up all this, you know, it would be very chaotic, but they are there for that purpose, to be stewards of that flight, right? They do serve, right? They're servants. They help us. They're being paid, right? But their job is to manage that flight. And we allow ourselves to be managed by them because we know that they're there for our good. Right? And so we also have to look at ourselves as stewards, right? We're here as managers of God's creation. We just read about the creation story. It's another thing that we don't really look at quite often, you know, enough, but it is a big part of our lives. God created all things, right? He created everything, and then He said, Adam and Eve are going to manage this. They're going to be the ones who are going to be taking care of all these things. And so there's that aspect of it. So stewardship has been defined by others as this. Stewardship is our response to God. Okay, so that's a little bit different, right? But a stewardess, a steward or a stewardess, is one who is in charge of the possessions of another. A steward or a stewardess is one who is in charge of the possessions of another, right? So in this regard, we are stewards of God's creation. And we're stewards of God's creation. That's what I think that God really wants us to start thinking about ourselves more in this summer that's coming up. How is our life going to change as we get into and accept more and more why we're here. Right? Why we're here. Why are we here on this planet? What are we, you know, what are we about? So Adam and Eve had this life given to them. They were created. We believe in the Bible, you know, reading the Bible, that we were created by God. Not that we came from the result of something already in existence like that, but God created us. Right? He gave us, and then he also made us the ones who were to manage the creation, and so all the other things were not. Right? It was only mankind that had this knowledge of God and the ability to be in a relationship with God. And God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he gave them responsibilities to take care of, and everything was sweet. But then they forgot that they were stewards of the garden. Okay, so that's really what we're getting at. They forgot that they had that position by God, you know, to be his, the ones who were managers of the possession, his possessions, things that were in this earth. And they forgot that they were also belonging to God. They were his possession. And so they went away from God and they turned on him. And one day he couldn't find them. He said, where are you? And they were hiding themselves because they had forgotten that they were given the possessions of God as stewards in this world. They turned against God. They turned on the one who had given them their lives in that kind of way. And so God in his greatness had this plan to save them, and will save all of mankind. All of us are born into sin. We're born into sin and we're sinners and we have fallen short of the glory of God, and so we're in this state that resulted from the first fall of mankind. But God did not give up on us as a race, right? He loved his creation, and so he had a plan to send his son Jesus to redeem us, right? To save us from sin and to give us life, right? Death resulted from sin, but there was new life found in Jesus Christ. And so when we are a Christian, the Bible teaches us that we become a new what?
Creation.
And now we are here in this kind of a way again, the image of God, being born in the image of God. We are restored to the image of God. And with that comes that steward and stewardess position. So that we have to, if God doesn't say, now you are set free to do what you like. Doesn't say that. Just like he didn't say that to Adam and Eve. There were certain things that they were not to do. And so it is with a new creation in Christ. But we have a goal and we have a purpose in life. And that is as stewards, just like he was saying, like Paul was saying in that verse to them. How are you supposed to be known? As servants of Christ. As stewards of the great mysteries of God. And I'll give you the answer in part at least, but the greatest part of it is that we possess the gospel. That beyond anyone's imagination, God in his mercy decided to save mankind who had turned on him and abused what he had given them life for their own purposes, and yet he still loved them. And that is one of the greatest mysteries. And we are stewards of that. We manage that. We create opportunities for people to know it. Our whole life becomes a reflection of that grace of God that is in our lives, and we start to see ourselves in that kind of a way. And I can't tell you, you know, how important that is in life. It's something that everyone has to know. Because without God, we're completely lost. We're not saved. We're not redeemed. We're not saved from sin. So once we have that, and we have that purpose in life, right, that we've been saved, and the second part is added to that, not that we rest in it and say, thank you God, I'm saved. Let me go and do what I want. No, it's let me listen to your voice. Let me listen to what you have for me to do with my life. That's where we come from. That's what we have to understand, all of us. In Grace Church, we have to understand that this summer more and more so that we can effectively be seen in that way, regarded by other people as the servants of Christ and also the stewards, stewardesses of the great mysteries of God. Can you take that in for a second? I have been given that to do, to help people to know the great mysteries of God. Isn't that beautiful? Amen? You guys there? Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I know it is a lot to take in. You know, but this is where God wants us to go. So let's talk a little bit more about this and the reflection of that, right? So we're expected to follow God's intent, someone said. We want to follow His will. We want to follow His intention. What do you want me to do now? I don't want to do that, which I was doing before, the things of Adam and Eve when they fell into sin and they went against you. Now I'm ready to go. So what is it that you want me to do? And God is saying, oh, just wait. Just wait what I have for you. You know? Did you ever be in a group where assignments were given out and you were like, oh, I wish I had that one? You don't have to think that way. Because you're going to get exactly the one that you're going to, that God intends for you to have within His will for you as a human being that He loves. And He's got it for you. You don't have to doubt it. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that, you know, that I would be a little bit, you know, hesitant to say 100% like, this is it, but this is it. I can tell you with great confidence that God is going to do great things in your life when you give it to Him. Very exciting to be a Christian. He enables us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't have to think, oh, I can't do this. I'm not up to the task. No, that's not true. That's the Satan who drew Adam and Eve. You think, did God really say that? You don't have to do that. Don't listen to him. Listen to God. Let me listen to your voice. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. That's a great prayer for every day. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening to your name. Right? He didn't say you're on your own. He didn't say I will never. He did say I will never leave you or forsake you. In Hebrews 13:5, we read that. Right? In Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we are able to or to think. That is the mindset of someone who understands who they are as a steward. I can do all things, not of my own, but because of God and His greatness, and He is going to enable me to be able to do the things that He wants me to do in life. Now see, if you're like me, and many of us, we feel like, oh, I got so much to do. I'm overbooked. You know, I got big plans already. It doesn't have to do with that. What it has to do with is your relationship to God and your willingness to listen to Him. Of course you're going to feel like you can't do something. We're not. We said that before, right? Of course we're not able to do it. But God is. And that is the part, you know, where He starts to take this and He connects the dots in our lives and we start to say, oh, I can do that because of God. I can see that. I can do that kind of a thing because He gives me the strength to it. So if you feel tired and you feel like you're busy and you feel like all these different things are going on, God knows that. But He has something specifically in mind for you that you are going to be able to do because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And because God can do abundantly more than any kind of doubts or kind of a feeling of inadequacy that we have. And this is not positive thinking. This is based on the Word of God. Right? It's based on the Word of God. So all about the Christian faith is about trusting God to be able to do that which you're not able to do. It's a fabulous thing that God has given to us, but think about this summer. What can I do for God that seems impossible, but for Him is not impossible? And He comes into our lives in that kind of way. Right? So when we're saved by grace and receive Christ, this is where stewardship of life begins. You've been born anew. Some of you have been newly baptized. You just got baptized. You received the gift of life that Jesus gives to you. You have been born again, and now, mark this down, your stewardship has begun. And it's not just reading the Bible, it's not just praying, although that is a part of it, that's an essential part of it, but it is your attitude of understanding that I have to give my life now to God and follow Him. That's what we have to all do, right? Continually in our lives, we have to listen to His voice and do what He says. So, there's another big part of this that is important for us to think, and it's very exciting. We are co-laborers with God. Now take that in for a moment. We're not just saved, We're not just children. We're not just stewardesses of God, of the mysteries of God. We are co-laborers with Him. And many times we get overwhelmed because we feel like we're doing it all ourselves. But it's not that way. We're co-laborers with God. I'll tell you why. It says so in 1 Corinthians 3:9. For we are laborers together with God. Can we say that? We are laborers together with God. We are joining His work. Wouldn't you like to have Him on your team? I mean, He's really the leader of it all, and He does those kind of things, but that's the kind of a God that He is. He allows that to be said, I am your co-laborer. But I'm going to provide everything you need. And I'm going to do most of the work. But we're co-laborers. And that's a wonderful way to look at life. We don't have to feel upset. We don't have to feel like it's overbearing. We don't have to feel that anything is going to be too much for us because God is working with us. Right? So God's purpose is that He works with us. And it's His purpose that we do work for Him in this life. When we're born again, we're completely different than the world. Okay, our life is completely different than the world. Right? We're made new in Christ. Right? We're made new in His image. God intends that in that word that you have been born again and you are a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. So those are some of the most beautiful words that exist to humankind. The old has passed away and the new has come. Talk about this with people that are going through problems that they feel are just going to have ruined their lives. And you come in there and you say, when you know Jesus and you give your life to Jesus, the old has passed away and the new has come. And you are a new creation when you believe in Him. And your future is bright, man. And they say, well, I can't believe it because there's so many things that are wrong. And they say, yeah, me too. But He saved me. Because He loves me and He loves you, and that's the story of the gospel. I'm a steward of the greatness of the work of God in the lives of people. That's what we have to unveil to people, the mystery. This mystery that is too much for humankind to really fathom in its deepest sense, but it's attainable because God makes it real through His Son, Jesus, who came into the world to show us what it looks like, to put Himself on the cross instead of us and say, I'm dying for you, and that is what the love of God can do. Save you. Save all of you. And that's His intention, right? And to use us in that kind of a way. It's an exciting summer that God has in front of us as His stewards. What other ways does the being a steward of God show itself? Okay, so we talked about, you know, we're stewards of the great mysteries and the gospel, and we carry those things over. But there are other ways that we can also see that at work. If a person is in a relationship, and I think that everybody here is in a relationship with someone, and we happen at some point not to say something nice to them, right? Or did I say it right? To say something that's not nice. Right? I have done something wrong. Okay? I've sinned against God, and I have also, you know, hurt that person, and I'm responsible, but that's the whole thing. I have failed in my responsibility to be a steward of God. I have failed in being that person who has been given possession of someone in my life, right? Someone who's in my life, and I have hurt them. So I have not cared for them. I'm not managing my life well as a steward because I'm not treating people in the way that I should. And so it points it out to us so that we can repair them and say, you got to take more care the way you spoke to that person. You have to take more care in the way that you treat that child. You have to take more care the way that you speak to your spouse. Right? So it's not just this kind of thing where we have the mysteries, right? It's a realistic, practical application of that to say it has to be a part of every inch of our lives. And you know why that's important? Because I and every one of us have hurt people. How do you get out of that? Well, you can ask for forgiveness and you can mend that kind of a thing, but you have not recognized, right? It's important to recognize because we tend to return to what we've done and do it again. I have to understand what I'm here for. You go to a person, a dear person, right? It could be any kind of relationship, and you say to that person, I am really cut to the heart this time because I realize that God's word says that I need to be a better steward. I have to be his steward. I've been given this much to do in life, and I have to do that better in our relationship. Will you forgive me and give me a chance to do that? I will, through the strength of Christ working in me, improve. And I'll make it better. That's essential in a marriage. It's essential in a friendship. It's essential in any kind of relationship that exists. And it's essential in the church, because churches oftentimes are filled with people that are going to hurt one another. And we have to be aware of that as a church, that we have this church as a possession given to us, right, from God. He possesses us. He possesses this church, but we are the managers of it. How are we going to manage it? By yelling at each other and having arguments and demanding our own way? No. We do it in the way that God intends it, by being forgiving, being patient with one another, wanting others to succeed, looking out for one another, looking for ways for people to get involved and not just myself all the time, right? There's all these different things that are going to happen that way. And that is why there's hope for the church, because God has given us this. The knowledge that we are stewards of the mysteries of God, and that's why I'm here. So we start to do it. Start to put it in. That's the other great thing about God. We're a new creation. I can start. Oh, I didn't know that, and now I do. So let me pursue that in my life, in my relationships, to mend them in that kind of a way. So you can think more about that yourselves. But that's the idea there. Prayer between ourselves with God is an important steward kind of thing to do. We have to make time to pray to God, because it's the greatest source of finding out who we are and why we're here and what we're supposed to do. Ask him, right? That's a simple thing, but we don't want to do that. We want to ask ourselves first, what should I do in my life? But God is waiting patiently and saying, I'm here. I want to help. Just give that to me, because I'm your co-laborer. I'm going to help you find the direction. Someone said, I must give myself completely to what God is doing in the world. I must give myself completely to what God is doing in the world. Great advice. Not give myself completely for what I want to do in the world. Give myself completely to what God is doing in the world. And what is God doing? He's bringing about life where there's death. He's giving people hope where there's no hope. Teaching us how to live lives that are filled with forgiveness and with love and with the things that are lasting things, long lasting. I want to tell you a story about someone just kind of connected to this in a way. So I was talking about, there's a story, this man named Matthew Maury. It was in 1873, I guess he lived around that time. And a terrible thing happened to him, that he was injured and he became a cripple through an accident in like a stagecoach. Can you imagine? At that time they had these horse-drawn carriages, you know, and he was injured and lost his ability to walk. But it's interesting, he was an oceanographer. He loved oceanography, the study of the ocean, right? And the story is that he was reading Psalm 8, which we read part of it today, and I didn't know I was going to mention this when I gave the words for the call to worship from this, but what it says here is, in verse 8 of Psalm 8, God has given us, basically he's saying, you have dominion over the works of your hands, right? And then he lists the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, but this is the part that got the attention of this man. Whatever passes along the paths of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Now, I didn't even notice that verse, but he did. And it's because he was given a gift for science and oceanography, and God gave him that interest, right? And he was really developed in that. He was a guy who served in the Navy, and he was a scientist, but he was crippled, right? You're thinking, oh, his life is over, but no. God comes into his life in that very terrible situation, and he puts his mind that is really bent on around his being a steward of these kind of this kind of realm in science and with the things that are there. And he says this is the verse that, that spoke to him. Whatever passes along the paths of the sea. And so this guy looks at the ocean, and at the time that he lived in, it took 182 days for you to travel by ship from the west coast of the United States to the east coast. 182 days. Can you imagine? That's a long delay. Okay. Right? So what did he do? He looked at this verse, and the wheel started turning, and he was thinking, the paths of the sea. And he investigated it, and sure enough, he discovered currents that were a pathway in the sea that cut down the amount of time by 77 days. Right? So we're talking about the gospel, we're talking about these mysteries and different things like that, and we're thinking it's just basically in that kind of realm. But it's also about this kind of thing, that he's making a difference for the people that live in his time in a very practical way. But it was a great discovery, because we see the purpose that God had actually put paths in currents in that way, and it's right there in that in the Bible, in Psalm 8, right? It's wild. So you can find all kinds of mysteries being displayed and being brought out, but he brought it to a man of God who believed in Jesus Christ, who just thought that, you know, my life is destroyed because I'm a cripple now, and he used him. And that's what God can do for you. And I believe there's a message in there for some people here today who think, you know, that I'm not able to do the things I used to be able to do in life. No! No. This man was crippled. But he had the ability to read the Bible, and he looked at that, and God spoke to him right there where most of us would just pass over it, and it meant something to him, and he brought it out, and he was able to apply it, and they made maps, and all of this improved because of that. So do you see what happened? He's a steward of the possessions of God. He's been put in charge to manage the things, even the ocean. But as God is his co-laborer, he was able to find a way that people would be able to increase their travel time. And that is to me, taking that, right, in my own situation, I can also say, could he not give us also, in each one of our individual lives, a path to follow in life? And the path that leads to everlasting life is found in Christ. What is God going to show you in your life that is there, that is yet to be discovered, but so that you can apply it and make a difference in the world that you live in? We're great copiers. We're great copiers. We want to be like that person and do that. What about delving into what you're born for as a steward or a stewardess of God's possessions, and praying to him and coming up with something that is not a copy of someone else's or trying to do what other people do, but it's a specific reason for your existence? Just a word of a thought, you know, to consider. What does God have for you, and what word, when you're reading the Bible, are you going to find? That's why this is a treasure. It possesses the words of God that changes things and brings us into a new world, born again, right? New creation. Through with the old, in comes the new. And what is new that you're going to bring? I believe that's going to happen. I'm going to be praying for every one of you that you discover it. That is my, you are part of the thing that I am steward, right? I'm steward in this church, but I definitely feel like, and I told my kids the same thing, I have done a lousy job as a father in praying consistently for each one of you and our grandchildren, and I'm going to change that, and by God's grace, I will. Because I have come to a firmer understanding of the importance of praying for my children and for their lives and for the grandchildren and others, but also as a church. It's great. It's great stuff. God gives us the direction we need, and the kind of things he puts into our minds help us to be able to be more effective and not just try to think of things on our own. Right? In worship, right, there's another element of this. There's this worship of God, and we were singing that song today, right? That I want to worship you, right? So it's a major part of our lives as well, right? But God has given us this day on Sunday to come and together and to worship him, and that is also a part of our you know, it's his possession. He created all the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. So that intention is for us to honor him and to give glory to him and to worship him. And the Bible is filled with verses where it's saying, don't be in the habit like some people and not go to church. Don't be in the habit of some people and not come together to worship God, because that is the whole purpose in our life. Without him, we don't have a life. So it's expected we are to be good stewards of our worship time together. And we're interconnected like that. So please ponder that as well, that God has given us this time of worship, and we need to really consistently do that because we are God's stewards, and he has given us this day, and we are to manage it well. There's a guy in OCMA, that's the Association of Churches that we belong to, and we had this meeting, and he was late. He actually called the meeting. I have to laugh. I love him. I mean, he's a great person and everything. But what he wrote to us is, he said, I'm really sorry, I didn't manage my time well. And we're all like, you don't have to tell us. We all do things like that, you know. So, I mean, but he admitted that kind of a thing. But that is kind of one of the things that's going on here. We don't manage our time well as stewards of God. We oftentimes forfeit God for the sake of other things in our lives that really should be secondary. That's another thing I can say with full assurance. It's very important that we have that, because God writes it in his word very clearly that we need to put him first. So Romans 14:7 says, no man lives for himself, no man dies for himself. We are here to give God glory, to worship him in our whole life in these different ways, right? So we want to make that very important in our lives in that kind of a way, right? So I'll just move on very quickly. Let me read you a couple things. Just as actually reviewing as we go along, but some more things. A steward is one who's in charge of the possessions of another. How does that relate to you in your life? I see that is that we are connected, and I am to take you and your and my relationship serious. The Lord is over the steward. That's important. The Lord is the one who's over us as stewards, not we. Even though we're co-laborers and everything like that, it's a great thing, but he is really, truly over the steward. He's got to be over us. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that live therein. The Lord's. You are the Lord's. Whether you want to admit it or not, you are. You come from him, you are created by him, and it's him that we serve. Someone said, I wasted this day. The answer, no, you did not waste the day. You wasted the opportunity God gave you to be a steward of that day. Do you see life that way? I am a steward of this day. You wasted the opportunity God gave you to be a steward of that day. That's a perfect way to approach each day. Not to back into it somehow and sort of feel like, oh, I hate, you know, so many things are going to happen today. I wonder what's going to happen today. And I'm so worried about what's going to happen today, right? I live like that a lot. I'm sorry to admit it, but I do, you know, and I'm through with that. I want to say, Lord, make me a steward of this day. Work in me. Help me to be who you want me to be today. And do what you say today. Right? That's the way we approach life. If the stewardship of life is settled, everything else in life will be settled. Can I hear an amen to that? I feel so unsettled. I have this, and I'm thinking this, and I'm thinking all these different things that are going on. I have this. And you get so used to being, you know, kind of used this way by the world and also by Satan, that we buy into it, and God is saying, don't do that. You know, give me your life and follow me, and I will show you how to live. So no matter what you've done, it is to be the Lord's. And you are still simply a steward of what he has given you. The last thing I want to just say is that God also teaches us that we are accountable. We're going to be talking about this more, okay, as we go along. So I just want to briefly mention this, but it is important that we do that. Oftentimes, we'll talk about the benefits of what God is saying and the great things about and the blessing, but we also have to be ready for bringing our lives before God and being accountable to him. Right? Adam and Eve, what have you done? That's accountability, saying, what have you done? Are we ready to tell God what we've done? You know? That's the road to actually salvation. Admitting what we've done, you know? But then turning that around and saying, you know what I did today? For you, Lord? Right? It's taking that and saying, I'm going to shift it around. I'm going to say, you know what I did for you today? This is great. Thank you, Lord. I really want to live for you like this. This is much better than trying to not sin and get stuck in a rut with my old sins and doing things like my old way. Now I'm born again, a new creation, so I want to do things in the new way. What have you done with this stewardship of life? Right? Good questions to ask ourselves, not to become depressed or to feel like, oh, we're lousy, but to actually answer the question, right? What do you want to do with your life? There was a guy, I read a story, I'll close with this. There was a guy who, speaking of the church, and he was in Philadelphia, actually. His name was Wanamaker, and he was given a position where he was asked to be the USA Postmaster General. It sounds like a big job. I don't know all the things that are entailed in that, but it gives you an idea, right? That he was offered this great position as the USA Postmaster General. You know what he said to them? I know that God wants me to... He brought this into my life so that I can serve in this way, and I do want to serve my country, and I do want to do what God wants me to do in this kind of a way, but I will not do it unless I can still be free to teach my Sunday school class. That was what he said. It can't interfere because I am a steward of my Sunday school class. I'm a steward of God first, but I am a steward in my serving the Sunday school class. Now, how would it be if we were to begin that way with everything that happens in life? Every time that something comes and tries to sneak its way in and nudge away the things that are most important and knowing who we belong to in that kind of a way. It's to stand up in that kind of a way. And he became that person. You know what he did? He stayed as a superintendent of his Sunday school in the church for 55 years. He didn't lose the job. He didn't give it up. But he stood on his ground, and he stood for what's important as a steward, because he knew who he belonged to, and he knew that it was God who had chosen for that, and that's what he stands in. And that's what God is calling us to in life. Just to be brave enough to trust God is going to bring that which you want, your heart most desire, into being when you are true to him. And there's no promise that you're always going to get the thing that you are ready to give up, but if you put God first and you say, I need to tell people where I stand first as a Christian in this world, and I'm also responsible to other people, and it has to be on those terms, then God is going to bless it. So there's a lot of things for us to think about as being stewards, right? A steward is one who is in charge of the possessions of another. We are put in this life to take care of possessions of our God. And we are to take care of those people as though they were our own and co-laboring with God. And that stewardship is our response to God what are you going to do with the life that you now have that has been given to you by me? Let's see. So let's be excited about saying to God, I'm your steward, I'm your stewardess, Lord. Take me where you want me to go. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this verse that Paul speaks of, that you would incredibly make us the stewards of the mysteries of God. And we thank you, Lord, for this lesson that's going to help us in life so that we can find direction and also remember who it is that we are and why we're here. And we pray, Lord, that you'll take our lives this summer and let them be consecrated to you, dedicated to you fully, Lord, in all that we have, and to remember that our lives are in your hands. We thank you for this, and we pray that you'll bless it, so that you will help us, Lord, to see each one of us a verse that you have specially picked out for us that may not stand out to someone else, but is particularly for each one of us this summer, and that we can be your stewards to make this world a better place, and most of all, that people would know you and come into the salvation that you offer through Jesus Christ. May your Holy Spirit fill us and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.